This is Radio MD COVID-19 Daily, your source for COVID-19 news from the front lines of healthcare. I'm Caitlin White. Thanks for joining us on this Tuesday. It is the last day of March. It's finally here, 31st. Strikes and protests are happening around the country as essential workers demand more protections and sick pay during this pandemic. Radio MD's Bill Klaproth has more.
A large group of Instacart shoppers, who are largely contract gig workers not eligible for benefits, has started refusing orders this week because they don't think the company has done enough to protect them during the COVID-19 outbreak. The shoppers want Instacart to provide protective gear, such as hand sanitizer, add a $5 per order hazard payment, and expand its sick leave policy and include those vulnerable to the virus. It also wants the company to change the default in-app tip amount from 5% to 10%. Instacart has responded and said it will work with a third-party manufacturer to develop its own hand sanitizer and supply it for free to workers starting this week. It'll also extend the sick pay deadline from April 8th to May 8th. And as far as the default tipping, it will now let customers set their own tipping percentage in the app rather than use the company's. So far, the company has not addressed the $5 per order hazard pay or sick pay for vulnerable workers. The workers shot back saying, aside from simply not being enough, this is insulting for a number of reasons, they wrote in a blog post, saying neither the hazard pay nor vulnerable workers were addressed by the company. So, if you're an Instacart user, what does this mean for you? Instacart says the protest hasn't reduced customer orders, and as it relates to today's actions, we've seen absolutely no impact to Instacart's operations, a spokesman for Instacart wrote in a statement. It also said that in the past week alone, 250,000 new people signed up to become Instacart full-service shoppers, and 50,000 of them have already started work shopping on the platform for customers. For Radio MD News, I'm Bill Klaproth.
And manufacturers in the United States are stepping up to build ventilators, even if that's not their main export. Scott Webb has more on that.
Thanks, Caitlin. The Ford Motor Company has announced plans to produce 50,000 ventilators within the next 100 days at the Rawsonville, Michigan plant. Ford will provide its manufacturing capabilities to quickly scale production. NGE Healthcare will provide its clinical expertise and will license the current ventilator design from Aran Corporation, a small privately held company specializing in high-tech pneumatic life support products. After the initial run, Ford says they'll be able to produce up to 30,000 ventilators per month as needed. Reporting for Radio MD News, I'm Scott Webb.
So my boyfriend and I moved in for the first time about 2 weeks ago. That's right. We went from living apart for a year to sharing an apartment in the middle of a quarantine. So far, so good on our end. But for some, seeing their partner or family every single day may be getting to them as the timeline for this continues to get pushed back. I called up licensed mental health counselor Jessica Baum to find out more about keeping your relationships healthy in the time of COVID-19. So most of us are quarantined right now, some alone, but some with partners or family members. What are some tips you have for just kind of maintaining sanity when you're stuck with the ones you love?
One of the things I keep telling people is to create some structure and some boundaries within the family or within the coupleship so that we can create space within the home. So I have been encouraging a lot of my clients to kind of meet and form a schedule and get up and shower and perform their daily activities in the house as if they were going to work, and also working together, especially if they have family members at home, in creating a schedule to give each other a sense of alone time to decompress and time to get on the phone and work from home if they can do that. So creating some structure is one of the biggest things I've been encouraging a lot of people to do. Another thing that I kind of have been telling people to do, if it's, you know, feasible, is to give each other the space to go for walks. If there's social distancing is an issue, obviously you can't, but to get out of the house, to get into the sunshine, to give each other space. We don't have to be together all the time. We're not used to always being together all the time. And so it can really help the relationship if we create space from each other to just decompress and be alone a little bit through this period of time. And another really important kind of issue that has come up a lot in the last week is one partner might want to be watching the news incessantly and just keeping the news on, either the news or the market or whatever that is, and the other partner might be dealing with a lot more anxiety. So being really mindful that having the news on 24/7 isn't going to help the relationship or the energy in the home, and putting some boundaries around the news is really something that if you guys could both get on board with, because I know that some people like neurotically just want to check the news and get tied into like the energy of the news and all of that. And it's really toxic to stay in that space. It's important to be informed and to get the information that we need and then to change the channel, you know, spiritually, emotionally, mentally, keep changing the channel, get the information and then change the channel. That's another, you know, one thing that's been coming up a lot as different couples have different needs in terms of what they want to kind of be dialed into right now and not dialed into. And, you know, a lot of couples are fighting right now. And it's really a time where if someone in the partnership is being more aggressive or rude or sharp for the other partner, not that the behavior is okay, but to understand that this is fear. This is how fear is coming out, and this might be how your partner is expressing fear. So if you could get out of your defense mode and join with them and share, you know, this is probably because you're really scared, and validate that this is a really scary time. And this is a time when we join together and validating that it is scary, and that what is in our control, and really having conversations around what is in our control. How can we be a teammates through this process versus letting fear of the economy or fear of the situation that is really out of our control come into our home. So having these talks where we kind of develop compassion around how people are responding, because everybody's responding differently. And if someone's responding poorly, it is being driven by fear. And so have compassion around the fear and start to have dialogues around that rather than get defensive and start to kind of attack each other. Most couples, a lot of couples, one of their biggest concerns are finances right now. I'm really encouraging people to shelf that concern right now. Right now, we really just need to focus on the health and well-being of our loved ones and keeping that safe and keeping our days really simple in terms of just stay in the day and, you know, be grateful if everybody is healthy, be grateful of what we can control in today's day, because it's, you know, crisis mode, and many of us project, and the news is projecting really far in the future, and this came on fast, and we really don't know what the future is going to hold. We can just kind of focus and stay more grounded in the day.
Obviously, getting outside is a great way to create some space, but do you have any tips for creating that space while you're inside your home still?
We have several rooms usually in most houses, but creating physical space, like if I'm in this part of the room, I really need alone time, shutting the door. If I have my headphones on, I really need to decompress and set that boundary. I mean, that's boundaries within a home, and creating the space doesn't mean that we don't love our partner or we don't care about our partner, but we're just kind of trying to self-regulate essentially. So asking for that is really important. And how you ask for that is even more important. Some people, when they're in partnership and you're in a lot of anxiety, how you ask for space is more important than the space itself. And it can look like, I love you, you know, I'm really concerned for us right now. And right now, in order to take care of myself, I need, you know, a 30-minute bath, and I need to close the door and pick up a book. And I'll be back out to, you know, listen to whatever you might be anxious about or answer any questions. But I need this space for me right now. And prefacing that with, and I love you, or I care very much about what's going on right now, but I need to take care of myself.
We're talking about so many negatives that are coming up in this process, but are there any positives to this quarantine?
I love that you asked that question, because I think it is a positive for a lot of people. I think a lot of people are going to come out of this with a reassessment as to what's really important. We all think that all these other things make us feel safe, and at the end of the day, they don't, you know, and what is really important boils down to really simple things, and that's our health and well-being. So I think right now, I think we're in kind of a time of crisis that's going to reshift a lot of what we value in the world and get us back to kind of the core of what's important, and that's our connection to our loved ones and our community and the world at whole.
It really has been interesting to kind of watch how so many people are resisting the idea of staying home and slowing down.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting that you say that, and it's actually hard for me to see. I'm in South Florida, and it's hard over the weekend. A lot of people were out on their boats, and I live in a state where there are a million old people, way more than that. And I even have older clients that are having a hard time staying put. And it's a reflection on your inability to just kind of be with yourself. And if you struggle with that and you are constantly doing and you're out there in the world, you're going to struggle with just being and sitting with yourself. And a lot of people deal with anxiety by doing. I have a lot of clients that are like cleaning every single room in their house, which isn't a bad thing, but it really is reflecting on, you know, how we need to kind of learn to just be comfortable in a period of time and sit with ourselves.
Thank you so much for these tips, Jessica. Looking forward to using some of them on my own. Find out more about Jessica and her practice at jessicabaumlmhc.com. That's Jessica Baum, BAUMLMHC.com. As many Americans, like me, settle into working from home for what could be a long time, concerns of cyber attacks amid the COVID-19 pandemic continue to grow. I recently chatted with PCmatic CEO Rob Chang about some tips workers can take to keep their information safe from their makeshift home offices. So we have probably millions of people in this country working from home right now. What is that doing to our internet infrastructure?
Actually, that's interesting. There was something from the European Union. They called Netflix, and they said, listen, we want you to start streaming your videos in lower resolution. And the reason is that a lot of people aren't really working at home. They're watching Netflix at home. So that also we're seeing a big spike, at least in Europe, you know, of people not working at home, but they're staying at home and watching Netflix. And that was causing bandwidth issues in Europe. I've not heard of anything quite like that in the United States, but I don't think that we are as far along as far as the work at home as they are in Europe at this point. I mean, I think they started doing a lot of the social distancing before we did.
So if I'm moving to working from home, what are some issues that could come up with so many people bringing this information outside of their offices?
There's a very large concern right now put out by the FBI and the Department of Homeland Security related to fake emails related to the virus. The one that they were focused on from the World Health Organization, and it looks very authentic, and then it has one of two payloads. One is a link, and it goes to a fake website where you try to put in your credentials, and they're really trying to steal your password and your credentials. And the big one, though, is it also can't contain an attachment, and on that attachment is ransomware. So that's the one that they're trying to make everyone aware of. I mean, so there's a lot of things to one, if you're on the corporate network, be careful here. The thing that you need to do is you need to look very carefully at the sender of the email. So one lesson here is it's okay to open the email. It's okay to open the email. It's okay to look at who the sender is. The risk is when you click on a link or you click on an attachment. That's where the risk happens. So what you want to do is you want to go look at the sender of that email. And their email address, let's say, is a World Health Organization. It should look just like a World Health Organization email. It should not look sort of like it, because they're going to try to make it look sort of like it, but it needs to look exactly like the way you would expect it to look. And if it doesn't look perfectly, then I would just delete that email.
If I am a business sending my workers to work from home, what should I be telling them to keep in mind?
Let me just give you a few highlights of things. I think one of the most important things is your antivirus. Normally, the IT people can choose your antivirus, but now you're choosing the antivirus. You go on the corporate network, you're really protecting your network with your home antivirus. And so I think that is a very large risk. Many of the antiviruses are free, and they're made in foreign countries, and all of those, I think, are risks now to your corporate networks. The other thing that I would be very wary about right now is using your home passwords at work. We did a study that showed that 50% of people use their home passwords at work. For example, your password for your personal email. Do not use that same password for your work email. Do not use that same password for any other thing you're doing at work. This is a very large security hole, and this is how the bad guys are getting in. So the other one is be very careful about your passwords. For your work, you should really try to make a password you've never used before and just try to remember it in your head.
I'm wondering if being at home working on a personal computer or something like that, is there an issue of maybe signing into the wrong accounts, accidentally checking something on your personal email?
Oh, that's certainly possible. I mean, that's probably a very common scenario. Somebody's looking really quick, you know, trying to get an update on the coronavirus on their personal email, and then boom, they misclick on something. Again, that role, when you misclick on an attachment, the role of your antivirus is to identify that situation. The problem is quite a few antiviruses are not very good at identifying ransomware, and that's why we see so much of it in our country.
Do you see any other issues coming up with this extension of work from home? I mean, probably this is going to last a couple months, I believe.
Oh, boy. I do. I mean, me personally, I do think that this is going to go on for months. I mean, if you analyze China and some of the other places, I mean, you know, Italy is getting worse, and they're already months into it. I mean, so we don't know really what's going to happen on our side. We've done things differently, and I hope it works out. But still, I think we're looking at months minimum. And so I think that people need to, this is just not a short-term thing. I think people need to think, okay, for many months now, I'm going to have to be working this way. What's the best way for me to be, one, productive, and two, secure? If you don't have a password on your computer, put a password on your computer. Two, if you're leaving your internet router on the default, which a lot of people do, then you need to move it to some other password that that they haven't figured out. But frequently, people just leave it at default, and the password is admin, things like that. The password is password. And so, I mean, when it comes straight out of the box, you need to go and change those passwords. So there are two more, you know, tips for people. They're working at home and getting on a corporate network.
This has been Radio MD COVID-19 Daily. If you want to reach out to us with questions or comments, thoughts or ideas, shoot us an email at COVID19Daily@radiomd.com. That's COVID19Daily@radiomd.com. We'll be back Wednesday afternoon with more updates. I'm Caitlin White. Stay home and stay healthy.